The Glass Lady Project with your host, Becky Mitchell. This program features artists and individuals from our community who have stories and history to share.
Today, joining me, I have Police Chief for the City of Detroit Lakes, Tim Agabratton. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having me. This is awesome.
It's great. I've been wanting to get you on the show for a while.
Yeah.
Of course, we know you as the Chief of Police, but we also know you as, I heard a few years ago, the term side hustle, and I like that term a lot. So you also have kind of a side hustle of doing some other things.
Yeah, a lot of music. So I've been with the police department for 24 and a half years. Been the chief for a little over five. And I've been doing, for about the last 14 years, my side hustle of music. And it kind of started out with our neighborhood. We hired a one-man band for our block party, Dan Holt. And Dan came out and played, and I thought, well, he's playing the songs that I know. And so I went out and bought a couple of speakers, and I was working nights and weekends at the time, my real job. So it wasn't real conducive to having a side gig like
sure.
that. But I would do nursing homes and wherever else, you know, I could start doing some stuff. And I started doing some birthday parties and anniversary parties, just kind of when I could fit them in. And then I started working days probably about 10 years ago and started having some weekends off, and then it was a lot more conducive to kind of building that. Started out as a hobby, and it's still a hobby. It's a passion.
Sure.
But it's blossomed into just an amazing thing where I'm doing a lot of shows a year, and it's been wonderful.
Your name has grown so much in that venue of performer. I know that I've tried to book you a few times, and you are busy. You're a busy guy.
I'm blessed with that. I'm booking about a year in advance now. June, July, and August always fill up really fast.
Sure.
And my wife, Denise, and I, we block off a weekend every month just for family stuff. And that's really the beauty of being a one-man band is I don't have to worry about the bass player's cousin's aunt's wedding reception or something. And we're committed that way. Or the drummer's got a gig that he lined up for us or anything like that. It's just me. So literally when somebody calls, Denise and I share a calendar, so I just look at our calendar, and if there's nothing going on, I take it. So like June of 2017 is pretty much booked already, either between family reunions or gigs or whatever. It's been a lot of work, but I honestly, for doing about 120 shows a year now for about the last 3 years where it's been kind of ramped up that high, I can seriously say that I haven't had a gig that I didn't want to go to or that wasn't the best gig ever. I mean, they're honest. I say that, it sounds cliche-ish, but each one is literally the best one ever. And there's little nuggets I pull out of each one that just kind of make that moment and make the night and keep me going for the next one. It's awesome.
I think some of the best performers or artists, whether you're a visual artist, a teaching artist, a performing artist, I think that the beauty of when you can find the way to learn from every experience, because that's how it continues to be satisfying for you. You know, it can be a lot of work sometimes getting up the energy to have the face on to go in front of the crowd.
Yeah.
And so if you can find that little nugget with every show, that's great.
Yeah.
You're kind of at a crossroads with life.
Yeah, it's exciting. So after 24 and a half years with the police department, in Minnesota, we get the opportunity to start drawing our pension at age 50. And I'll be 50 in November, and I'll take a penalty. The optimum age to retire out of law enforcement would be 55. I'll take a penalty by leaving at age 50. But Denise and I, and actually my three boys too, I mean, they've been involved in this whole process. And a couple of years ago, we decided that 50 was going to be the target, that I would retire at age 50. And you know, I hear so many people say, oh, it must be nice and whatever. But we've worked hard to get to this point. And so I don't apologize for any of it. I don't feel guilty about any of it. It's been a wonderful career. I've learned a lot as a police officer, learned a ton as police chief. And it's just time to shift gears and go to the next level, see what else is out there. And certainly there'll be the music piece. I'm looking at public speaking, getting into that. I've had a couple of opportunities already that when I get done with it, I'm shaking because I'm so excited because it honestly feels like I've been training for 50 years for this next step. And it's like I'm being called to it. It's so exciting. And I incorporate music with the speaking, which I think is kind of unique in the public speaking world and stuff. So I'm taking the experiences from real life and from my police work and from my personal life and all of these experiences and kind of wrapping them up in a positive message and getting that message out there. And how do we get through to the next stage with our physical, emotional, and spiritual health kind of intact?
Right.
And so that's kind of the focus of my talk so far. And still searching on what my target groups are going to be, but I'm super excited for that stage of it too.
I imagine working in law enforcement, which of course we are so blessed in our area to have great law enforcement. Yeah. I think sometimes in some communities, maybe especially larger communities, the law enforcement officers seem a little bit unapproachable or untouchable. And I think in our area in particular, you are a part of everyday life, so to speak.
Yeah.
Or maybe a little more human.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like that everywhere, but I think the feeling is a little different.
It's a tough balance. It really is. We have to be the go-to person when somebody needs help. So we need to be the physical person that is going to take control of a situation. And then we need to be the community member. There's a lot of analogies with the sheepdog and the sheep, you know. And
sure.
So the sheepdog looks like a wolf, and it protects the sheep from the wolf. But sometimes the sheep are scared of the sheepdog as well. We kind of have to balance that, and it's really tough, especially when I worked nights and weekends for about 13 years. And working nights, it's a different clientele than most people are aware of. Most of the population goes to bed after the 9 o'clock news or the 10 o'clock news, and they're not really aware of what's going on, and that's a good thing.
Sure.
We want our citizens to feel safe, but the reality is, even in Detroit Lakes or in Lake Park or Audubon, and it doesn't matter what town you're from, there is an element that is out there trying to victimize people, whether it's stealing from their car or beating their spouse. There's an element out there. It's a balancing act, and I'm very proud of our officers here at the DLPD and in Becker County, too. In the 5 years I've been the chief of police, I've had zero complaints of use of force, you know, where somebody got beat up by the police. Zero. And maybe one or two rudeness complaints, like, hey, your officer said something to me or lost his cool. And we handle about 12,000 to 13,000 calls a year. 5 years, 70,000 calls for service, and you know, maybe two or three complaints out of that. It's amazing. And that's just a testament to the people that we're hiring. And I can't speak more proudly about those people. They are amazing people. The good side is, too, that when the time comes that they do need to growl, I'd like to say they growl at them, they can do it. And
right.
They do it well, but they do it with respect. And they still do their job and do what's necessary. And you're right, we do try to be active in the community, too. Not everybody likes to be in the public eye. I love it, obviously.
And sure.
So it's kind of a unique position to be the chief of police and then to be an entertainer too. And I get a lot of questions on, you know, if that's a conflict of interest at all. And it hasn't been. It's been a very rewarding for both positions.
Yeah, I think that, again, the creative side of you probably recognizes that that creative side can complement or enhance the law enforcement side just as much as in reverse.
Yeah.
And I see that in what I do. My artistic side is always carried over into my everyday day job to some extent. And it's an opportunity to talk to people about what your day job is on a different level, on a little bit more even playing field. Many years ago, I don't think it was the first time I had met you by any means, but you were hosting a birthday party at the police department.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a fundraiser.
Yep.
And you said something to the group of kids that were fourth or fifth graders. Yeah, fourth, fifth, sixth, somewhere in there. One of them asked you what it was like when you had to pull over a friend or somebody you knew.
Mm-hmm.
Your answer, I thought, was so intriguing that I have used those same words in different ways as a parent. Your answer was, in that moment, I can't be a friend when they've made a bad choice.
Right.
When they're not making the right choices, I have to be the person that is going to make the right choices.
Yep. Right, exactly.
And I just thought that was such great wisdom to tell these little kids that are entering the years of, rough choices. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and if that person, and the longer I'm here, the more likely it is that I'm pulling somebody over. If I don't get out of the office too much anymore or do active traffic, but if I do pull somebody or I'm dealing with somebody, there's a stronger likelihood that I do know the person, at least in some way. And if that's going to ruin our friendship, well then, it was weak anyway.
Right.
If something they did and I'm calling them on it causes them not to like me, like a junior high kid would say, I'm old enough and wise enough. I have some amazing friends out of law enforcement and in within law enforcement, so it doesn't hardly faze me. It's not fun. It's kind of a unique opportunity, too, when people that I do know can call me up and come into my office, and it's kind of like a level of like a priest, where they're telling me stuff that they know it's staying with me unless I have to act on it. Telling me stuff about their family and about all these different things that are going on in their life, it makes me feel good that they trust me that much, and I won't defy that trust. It's huge, and that's the influence and the power that we have as police officers. When we have the ability, even the rookiest, brand new police officer that just gets sworn in has the ability to take away somebody's freedom.
Sure.
And it's a huge power. It's a huge responsibility. And we don't take that lightly at all. And you change as the years go on, like with everything. Once you learn things, and you fail and you succeed and you learn as you grow, it's a neat process. That's one thing that I'm dismayed about by leaving at age 50. I feel like I've got my legs underneath me as a chief. I make mistakes every day, but I'm doing a lot of things I think well. I've learned so much. And when people ask questions, I usually have an answer, or I know exactly where to find the answer. But that's not going to keep me here any longer.
Well, it's just time to use those skills and that knowledge in a new capacity.
Yep, exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about the music. When did you learn to play guitar? Were you self-taught?
Self-taught. I started in college. I had a guitar in high school, and I've always been singing. So I was in little singing groups and stuff. And when I was a senior in high school, we had a little group called The Reminiscence, and we sang Run Around Sue and Shimmy Shimmy Coco Bop and stuff from the 50s and 60s, and started out as an a cappella group, then we added some instruments.
Well, get out in that kitchen and rattle them pots and pans. I said get out in that kitchen and rattle them pots and pans. Well, now make me some breakfast, cause I'm a hungry man. I said shake, rattle and roll. Shake, rattle and roll. Now I said shake, rattle and roll. Honey, shake, rattle and roll. Yeah, you never do nothing the same, your doggone soul. Where you wear them dresses, your hair done up so nice. I see you wear them dresses with your hair done up so nice. Dang, you look so hot, but your heart is cold as ice. I said shake, rattle and roll. Say you don't love me no more. Well, I believed you was doing me wrong, honey, now I know. Said I believed you was doing me wrong, honey, now I know. Well, I know. Well, the more I work, then the faster all the money goes. I said shake, rattle and roll.
So I started learning how to play the guitar then. It was literally three chords. And you throw in a minor chord and I was all, and just couldn't do it. So I was a sophomore in college and I was an RA at Morehead State. And the guys that lived right across the hall from me, one was a bluegrass country guitar player and the other one was a heavy metal guitar player. And they didn't even know each other before they met as roommates. And so we became fast friends. We were right across the hall from each other. The country bluegrass guy said, well, what kind of music do you like? I said, I love the oldies, 50s and 60s. I love it. And he said, well, try these chords. And they did. And so your listeners don't do this at home, but I didn't go to class very much after that.
Not advisable. Go to school.
Go to school, yep. Stay in school. The phrase C's get degrees does not apply to you. I fell in love with the guitar, and we'd have to do rounds, like on weekends and stuff, and I'd take my guitar with me on rounds and do Del Shannon's Runaway or something, you know, through the hallways, and I fell in love with it. And I liked watching people's reactions when I'd be down at the front desk and playing songs, and they would throw crackers and ketchup packets in my guitar case because we were poor college kids and nobody had money. I've always been singing. My dad's family had 13 kids in their family and very musical family, so I have a lot of musical first cousins and my aunts and uncles. So our family reunions would be supercharged with old gospel music and pianos and guitars, and it was amazing. Absolutely crazy. So that's the passion that keeps me going. If I'm feeling a little under the weather or something and I've got a gig, it's a drug. So I'll get into the first two chords. And if it's two people in the room, if I'm watching one person and their toe starts tapping, I love it. I feed off of that. The summers are, I hate to even use the word busy because it's all by choice.
Sure.
But there's a lot of gigs. So there's a lot of weeks where I'll be doing 5 nights in a row, 4-hour gigs every night. The test is for me that fifth night, I'm excited. I'm loving it just as much as I did the first time I've ever played. It's crazy. And I don't think you can teach that to somebody. I don't know. I taught guitar lessons for about 5 years. And I used to think that everybody could do it.
Right.
Music, I love that kind of stuff. But other artistic things, like you with glass. I mean, you could take broken glass and make it into something that looks like something. I have a difficult time with that. Or building something. You know, these people that can take a sheet of plywood and make a doghouse out of it or something.
Sure.
Amazes me.
Right. So but you just do that with music.
Exactly. And that's I was talking to a guy at the Holiday Inn one night when I was playing, big strong construction guy, and he came up and he grabbed my hand, and part of being a musician and the chief of police is that it breaks down barriers as a musician where he wouldn't come talk to me if I was in uniform.
Sure.
Because actually he came up to me and he squeezed my hand, and he said, "I hate cops." I said, "Well, it just so happens that, how do you like guitars?" You know, and he was cool after that.
Right.
He was saying, "Man, I wish I could sing and play guitar like you do." And I said, "Well, I wish I could build stuff like you do."
Yeah.
I honestly do. But that's the beauty of this whole world, you know, is that we all have our gifts. And everybody's gifts can't be the same. And otherwise, it would be really boring if everybody played guitar and sang and made stupid jokes.
Right. We would be, yeah, we need diversity and different skills. I know that you've had the opportunity over the years, in the recent years, to work and perform and jam, for lack of better words, with many artists from around the region, of course. But you've had the opportunity to work with some from around the world, some bigger names that have come to town.
Yeah.
What has that been like?
Oh, it's amazing. It's kind of like when you're in junior high and you're watching the NFL and you're thinking these guys are gods. I mean, they're on a different level. The older you get, the more you realize, you know, and like Adam Thielen now, it's like now we kind of know somebody that's in the NFL, and it makes them, kind of humanizes them even more. That's how I feel about music, like a Toby Keith or my boy John Barry.
He's my boy too.
Oh, he is so awesome. The first time I met John Barry over at the theater, he made it more of a human experience. I've met Bobby V. So when you meet these people and realize that they're just human like everybody else, with a gift like everybody else, and they're using their gifts.
And in those cases, love to share it so freely.
Yeah.
I mean, just very down-to-earth human beings.
Yeah. There's honestly two people in the world that I would really love to sing with. And John Barry's one of them. And then Dion DiMucci from Dion and the Belmonts is the other one. And I got to hurry on that one because Dion's not getting any younger. He's like 78 now. But John Barry, one of the times he was here, a friend asked me if I wanted to go out to the Holiday Inn for Rotary.
I was there.
Oh, it was amazing. And they were doing Happy Dollars, and I sang at one of the Rotarians' wedding, and I sang Your Love Amazes Me, and so she gave a Happy Dollar for that. I think Amy had given a Happy Dollar for the chief being there, and I'm eating my salad, and John Barry's up there singing Your Love Amazes Me. He says, "Chief, why don't you come up and help me?" And I'm choking down my crouton, and oh my gosh, and it was amazing. It was really cool, and so many people said, "Oh, it was staged. You guys knew it." I'm like, absolutely not. It was as much of a jam session, a spontaneous thing.
Yeah. I saw you in as much of a junior high moment, I think, as I've ever seen you.
Yeah. Boy, it was... John has always been one of my idols, and to get that opportunity, Dion DiMucci lives in Florida. I got my target on him. I had an opportunity, I think I was still working in the jail in Moorhead. So back in probably 89 or 90, there was a Runestone Festival in Parker's Prairie, I think it was. I had won a karaoke competition, and that got me to the level of this Runestone Festival. And that night, Dion DiMucci was going to be playing. So I had it all set up. I was going to introduce myself to him, say, "Sir, I have no intentions of being a rock star or anything, but I would love to do doo-wop with you on Runaround Sue or The Wanderer or anything." And then they canceled the doggone festival.
Oh, no.
And so my dreams were dashed at that moment.
But you got to get to Florida and get some gigs.
Yep, I'm going, in January. So when they're that humble like that, I know not everybody's that humble.
No, they sure aren't. No, yeah.
And generous of their time, and not that they have to be. I can kind of imagine on a smaller scale, you know, I can't go anywhere in Detroit Lakes or pretty much Becker County without somebody mumbling, "There's the chief," or, "Oh, isn't that that singer guy?" And I couldn't imagine being like Shaquille O'Neal, because if Shaquille puts a hat on, you're still going to know it's Shaquille O'Neal. The poor guy, and I say the poor guy, but it's got to get old at some point, too. Or
it's got to be exhausting to kind of keep up. And everybody thinks that you're going to remember who they are.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's impossible.
Yeah.
And go back to John Barry. If you've ever heard John tell the story of meeting John Denver, they have those moments, too.
Oh, yeah,
and
totally.
So you have to remember, your idols also have idols. They're human, too.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what it's done by meeting these people. And I got to sing for Bobby V, sing for his wife's class reunion. She's from Detroit Lakes here. And I looked out in the audience, and there's Bobby V, you know, and it was just awesome. And he came up to me afterwards. I asked for a picture, and he said, "Son, you're a natural." And I'm like, my God, Bobby V just told me I was a natural. It was awesome. To meet these people, it really kind of makes the world a little bit smaller, and it makes what I'm doing even that much more special. Last weekend, I was playing in Walker at Chase on the Lake, and I played Brown Eyed Girl like I do almost every gig. So I got done doing my set, or my night, and I was tearing down, and this guy came up to me. He said, "I just got to tell you that Brown Eyed Girl is one of my favorite songs, and it was one of my wife's favorite songs. She died 7 years ago." So I put everything down. I gave him a big hug, and his three kids were there, and they were there just kind of to remember their mom. And here they walked in, and I was singing Brown Eyed Girl. And then I put something on my Facebook page about that. To me, that's what keeps me going, because it's something that I can do that I love to do. And it's making a difference. It made a difference in those four people's night. And they'll remember that for a long time. The older I get, the more I realize it is not about me. It's less about me, and it's more about the audience. I've just been given a gift, and it's to have that opportunity to do that and then to make a difference in somebody's day or night or funerals, weddings, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm humbled to be able to do that. It will fuel me for hopefully a long, long time.
Day after day, I'm more confused. Look for the light through the pouring rain. Know that's a game that I hate to lose. Well, I'm feeling a strain. Ain't it a shame? Oh, give me the beat, boys, to free my soul. Wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Give me the beat, boys, to free my soul. Wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. My, 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 my. Beginning to think that I'm wasting time. Understand these things that I do know. World outside looks so unkind. So I'm counting on you to carry me through. So give me the beat, boys, free my soul. Wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Give me the beat, boys, to free my soul. We'll be right back. when my mind is free, no, the melody can move me. When I'm feeling blue, Jim's harmonica coming through to soothe me. Hey, yeah, thanks for the joy that you've given me. Want you to know I believe in your song, rhythm and rhyme and harmony. Will you help me along, making me strong? So give me the beat, boys, to free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away. Give me the beat, boys, to free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away, yeah. Give me the beat, boys, to free my soul. I wanna get lost in your rock and roll and drift away.
I saw Kenny Rogers on the Wii Fest stage a couple years ago, and I think he was about 78 at that time. I thought, oh yeah, I got some time left. That's good.
I can stretch it out a little bit.
Oh yeah, he can still crank it out, so I got about 30 years left. Bring it.
Absolutely. You have also had the opportunity to have some moments kind of proving that music is the universal language with some of the international folks that have been in the area too. Yep. And again, in the capacity that I was formerly working with those artists, watching you communicate with people from China who didn't speak a lick of English,
right,
all the way to the Egyptian group that did speak pretty fluent English, and the Israeli group. What were those moments like, or what were you able to learn from them?
The same thing, that it's an international language. It breaks down so many barriers that we're not different. I mean, we're different if you look at each other, but I mean, we're going to have a retreat this Thursday and Friday of regional chiefs of police. So there'll be about 15 white middle class males between the age of 45 and 55. We all look alike. But those 15 chiefs, we share the same title, the same lot of different things. But there are so many things that are different about us.
Sure.
That makes us unique. We tend to focus on the visual things that, well, that's a tall woman, or that's a person with a different skin color. We focus on those differences, but we forget about the things that are common to all of us. Pain and love and fear and music. It's really cool. So at those dinners, just real private, intimate events, and West Al Balad was one of them.
Yeah.
I don't remember the Chinese group, what their name was. It was just so neat to play House of the Rising Sun for them or something, and or they'll be playing something and watch my guitar get passed around. And I've done that, you know, for many times. When I travel, I bring my guitar with me. And we were in a bar in Maplewood one night for canine training, and I was there for 3 months in this motel, and there was a bunch of guys from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
By an hour into us meeting, my guitar was getting passed around the room, and those Irish guys, they knew every Irish folk song known to mankind, and the Americans in the group would just sit and watch them, and then we'd break into American Pie or something, and they'd sing to every American folk song.
Yeah,
it was amazing. But it's just that where you can forget about the politics and forget about the religious differences and forget about all those different things and focus on what makes us similar. And there's way more things that make us alike than there are that separate us and make us different. I mean, I don't care who you are or how many people you have in a room. Like tomorrow when we have these chiefs here, we're going to have 15 different personalities and 15 different, if you ask one question, you're going to get 15 different responses and feelings on it. It floors me that we still, in 2016, we still categorize people in so many different ways. It just drives me nuts. So it's a wonderful expression to be able to play music. And at least for those moments, we can focus on, dang, I like that song. Or, dude, I hate that song. If I ever hear you play it again, you know. But at least we have something in common. You know, I don't really like it either. I just played it for her. It's all good.
And I think one of the messages that I'm sure you're alluding to and felt from those international groups or having different chiefs of police here, when it comes right down to it in this world, we all want similar things. We want to be happy. We want to be safe. We want our kids to be safe.
Yeah.
And that rang through with those artists through and through. And you mentioned Wust El Blad, the Egyptians. They were here during some pretty politically tumultuous times in Egypt, and they were pretty stressed out. And for them, having the chief of police, having somebody of that authority, that approachable, and to sit and jam with them was pretty impactful for them. So, but best of wishes to you with the music career, the speaking career. We've certainly appreciated your service. And just keep in touch with all. I'm sure we'll see you on stage around the community.
Oh, that sounds great.
And how, if I wanted to book Tim Egerbrotten, how would I do that?
Well, the name of my act is Off Duty Eggs. My website is offdutyeggs.com. I like to tell people my work number is 911. You can call me at work, but it doesn't usually work. So
probably not that particular number.
No, please don't call me there. I really do try to separate the work and the music. That's why I call my show Off Duty. But after November 25th, it will be completely off-duty when I retire. Offdutyeggs.com is my website. It's got all my contact information, and I'll be in the process of revamping that website to kind of match a little bit more what I'm going to do with the speaking part of it. But right now, my music stuff is in there, the calendar and all that stuff. So I'm around a lot. Like I said, I love each and every gig. It's truly a blessing to be able to play, and I'm honored. I even practice playing guitar, like if my left arm got chopped off by a train or something. You know how, and I watch YouTube videos of these guys playing with their feet, and so I'm thinking, thinking
ahead. Think ahead, plan ahead.
Yep. But it's in my heart and in my soul, so I don't care. Even if I just listen to it and enjoy it, it'll still be good. So
great. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me today, and check out that website, offdutyeggs.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.
The way sparkling earrings lay against your skin so brown, and I wanna sleep with you in the desert tonight with a million stars all around, 'cause I got a peaceful let me down.
get the feeling I may know you as a lover and a friend. This voice keeps whispering in my other ear, tells me I may never see you again. I got a peaceful, I'm already standing. Yes, I'm already standing on the ground.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy Art Culture Heritage Fund of Minnesota. To hear more, feel free to visit www.nijiradio.org. That's www.nijiradio.org.